A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. The angel brought me back to the entrance of the temple of the Lord, and I saw water flowing out from beneath the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the facade of the temple was toward the east. The water flowed down from the southern side of the temple, south of the altar. He led me outside by the north gate and around the outer gate facing the east, for I saw water trickling from the southern side. Then when he had walked off to the east with a measuring cord in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and had me wade through the water, which was ankle deep. Measured off 1,000 and once more had me wade through the water, which was now knee deep. Again he measured off 1,000 and he had me, and the water was up to my waist. Once more he measured off 1,000, but now there was a river through which I could not wade, for the water had risen so high that it had become a river that could not be crossed except by swimming. He asked me, "Have you seen this, son of man?" Then he brought me to the bank of the river where he had me sit. Along the bank of the river I saw very many trees on both sides. He said to me, "This water flows into the eastern district and down upon the Araba and empties into the sea, the salt waters, which it makes fresh. Wherever the water flows, every sort of living creature that can multiply shall live, and there shall be abundant fish, for wherever this water comes, the sea shall be made fresh. Along both banks of the river, fruit trees of every kind shall grow. Their leaves shall not fade, nor their fruit fail. Every month they shall bear fresh fruit, for they shall be watered by the flow from the sanctuary. Their fruit shall serve for food, and their leaves for medicine." A reading from the Gospel according to John. On the occasion of a Jewish feast, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the sheep pool, there was a place with the Hebrew name Bethesda. Its 5 porticos were crowded with sick people lying there, blind, lame, or disabled, waiting for the movement of the waters. There was one man who had been sick for 38 years. Jesus, who knew that he had been sick a long time, and when he saw him lying there, said, "Do you want to be healed?" "Sir," the sick man answered, "I don't have anyone to plunge me into the pool once the water has been stirred up. By the time I get there, someone else has gone in ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, pick up your mat and walk." The man was immediately cured. He picked up his mat and began to walk. The Gospel of the Lord. 11 years ago last fall, I had the opportunity to spend 3 months in Jerusalem, and at that time, I was able to visit both sites of today's readings, the Temple Mount, and what at least the tour guide told us was the Sheep Gate Pool. There was a difference. There was still a pool of water at the Sheep Gate Pool, not nearly as magnificent as I had pictured it from reading the Gospel, but still there was a pool of water there. On the Temple Mount, however, there's no water to be found. The Temple Mount is a dry, arid crag, and you can stand at it and look down into the Kedron Valley. Now, this is 2,000 years after Jesus has come, and isn't Jesus the fulfillment of Ezekiel's prophecy? So where is the water, I asked myself. The nearest water that you could find, such as Ezekiel is talking about, would be the Jordan River, 15 miles away. It brought to me anew the realization that what Ezekiel is talking about, and as a matter of fact, what the gospel is talking about, is not real water, but what water symbolizes. Now, I have a farm background, so I have some appreciation of the symbolism of water. Now, remember, as a child at Sunday Mass all summer long, you were usually praying about water. If there hadn't been enough rain for the crops, well, you prayed for rain. And if there had been too much rain and there was flooding, well, you prayed that the rain would stop. On those occasions, which seem now to be infrequent, when the water had been just right, well, then you tended not to pray for rain. And I don't think that was right. What all this taught me at an early age was that water is something you can't control. True, we have dams and cloud seeding these days, but still we have droughts and still we have floods. You can't control water. All you can do is pray about it, pray for it, pray against it. But I don't think that you should neglect it. And the reason is that what water stands for in Christian symbolism is grace, God's love for us. And all we can do about it, we can't earn it. All we can do about it is to pray for it. Certainly not pray that we don't receive it, but never stop praying about it, which we tended to do when the rains were just right. There's one other thing that we can do about grace and must do, and that is to respond to it, to take it to our lives, and to use it to produce the fruit that the reading from Ezekiel talks about. Now, the two readings today bring to mind that grace, which water symbolizes, is both life-giving and, as we saw in the gospel, life-restoring. At this point in Lent, now we're just over halfway through it, the Church begins to turn its focus from the Lenten practices of fasting, prayer, and almsgiving, about which we've heard so much in the past weeks, to what we're leading up to, and that is the Paschal Feast, the Easter Vigil, which centers on water, on the water of baptism, the life-giving and life-restoring grace of baptism. And I think what the Church wants us to remember with the readings today is that grace is not just as the Easter Vigil is not just for the catechumens who come every year, but also for the whole Christian people, so that we can renew ourselves, refresh ourselves once again in the grace of baptism by being sprinkled with the water and by renewing our act of faith. What the Church wants to remind us of is that we need to turn again and again to the Lord. The funny thing about any water that comes from Jerusalem is that eventually it will end up in the Jordan River, and eventually it will end up in the Dead Sea. As a matter of fact, the more water there is coming through the Jordan, the saltier, or the more salt there is in the Dead Sea. And so the source, I think the readings today are saying this, it is to the source that we must turn when we seek God's grace, and not to the end result. Lent is intended to turn our minds and our hearts constantly back to the source of all that we can hope for or desire. God's love for us, God's grace for us, as it is given to us in the healing love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.